Welcome to another episode of Poke Men's Health, Pokemon Meets Men's Health. I'm your host, Roy Flash Gordon, here with our guest today, Asa Bear. Asa, how you doing?
Doing good, doing good. I just want to make a little correction. It's actually pronounced Asa Bear.
Asa Bear. You know, something told me to ask before I hit the record button, and then as it left my mouth, I was like, damn, I didn't do that. Asa Bear, how
It's okay.
You
it happens
doing?
All the time. I'm doing great, doing great. Nice to be
Asa,
here.
Thanks for joining. Yeah, so good to meet you. So good to meet you.
I do want to just say, I love your nails. Enjoy. Ooh.
Oh, thank you. Thank you very much.
Yeah, I love that. Is Raging Bolt,
inspired?
Yep.
Yeah.
I love that. I saw that
that's
on Twitter
how we met.
And I was like, yes, yes, exactly. Yes, yes. I was like, "That's you need to win." Unfortunately, obviously, Wolfie went nuts, but
yeah, Wolf took it home, but next time I'll try to get my record a little closer to his.
that's what we all can hope for.
yes. If you are enjoying listening to the podcast, make sure you give us a follow. We got a cat in the background. I got a cat right next to me.
My
without
kitty,
further
Majin.
Ado, Majin, great one.
Majin,
after
yeah, like Majin Buu,
beautiful, love it. My cat's name, I have two cats. One is Fortune, one is Ocelot from the video game series Metal Gear Solid. And yeah, I love, you know, bringing those inspirations into the life in that way. So love to see another person doing it.
Mm-hmm. No, love it. Yeah.
So Asa, do tell us a little bit about yourself. How old are you? What do you do? And where are you from?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. My name's Asa Bear. I'm 24. I actually turned 25 next week. Almost a quarter, coming up, you know, having those like little midlife thoughts, I mean, quarter life thoughts, whatever, you know, just wondering how I'm doing, where I'm at, trying not to stress about it too much, but, doing good. I, currently don't do any work. Currently I'm just focusing on my mental health. I had an incident happen in October. That made me very much want to quit my job at the time, which was I was a New York City postman. Therefore, then I quit my job and focused on therapy. I've been doing that every week since October. What was the last thing you wanted to know?
And where are you from?
Oh, where I'm from. Yes, I'm from New York. Originally from Long Island and currently live in New York City and enjoying it very much.
Mm. Asa, you've got a unique name. Can you tell me a bit about your name, origins of it?
Yes, of course. My first name, Asa, it comes from the Hebrew name Asa, and he was the third king of Judah. And I don't know too much about religion, too much like anything like that. What I do know is he was like a good king amongst like in the region where there was a lot of corrupt kings and stuff like that is what the like stories go. My father named me that. Then my last name, Bear, is not actually my legal last name. My legal last name is my father's last name, but I decided to take my mother's last name, which is Bear. When I got more into my reconnecting with my native background, I decided to go with Bear because it felt very more comfortable with me. My background is my dad is white and my mom is native, so very much a mixed baby.
Got it. That's what's up. Thanks for sharing that with us. First person with the last name Bear. I kind of figured it may have been of native origins, but wanted to ask. Thank you
for that.
So a little bit about Pokemon. How did you get into this wonderful world of Pokemon and how do you currently engage with the community?
Mm-hmm. So I've basically been playing Pokemon since I could remember. It's been with me my entire life. My older brother was very much into Pokemon as well. And I just, you know, did anything he did, played all the games he played. My first like real memory of Pokemon, I remember it was with the N64 and I really wanted to play with my brother. And I like did the whole thing where I like went to my dad and I was like, Roger's not letting me play. And my dad's like, you have to let your brother play. so then my brother is like, all right, fine, whatever. And so he takes the controller like plug-in and lifts up the system and puts it like underneath so that's like the system's just like holding it underneath like in between the table And he's like, and he's like, all right, here you go. And I was like, that's not plugged in. And then my older brother's like, it's plugged in. Trust me. There's a thing underneath there. And I was like, no, there's not. Like, let me see. And then he hits me as an older brother does. He's like, what? You don't trust me? Like, just play. so I said, okay, whatever. And then I'm playing the whole time as the computer, thinking it's me. Little 5-year-old me or 4-year-old, however I was. And then finally, like, my brother like loses to the computer, and then I start popping off. I'm like, see, I beat you, it's so good. And then he gets mad. He's like, you weren't even playing. That's not even you. Like, and then finally says, like, that's the computer, like all that. But that is definitely my first and earliest memory of Pokemon, which I do love.
So good. That is a classic. I'm the oldest of my two siblings. Classic older sibling and older cousin move. I did that to my niece when like I was like 24 and she was like 2, and she's like, I'm gonna play, and I'm like, yeah, you're playing, sweet, you're playing, baby, here you go.
Like, I mean, what's a 2-year-old classic. Like, yeah. They gotta learn, start them young.
yeah. You had an inkling, so you had a little something there. You're pushing back. I appreciate that. And have you currently engaged with the Pokemon community?
So currently, I do VGC mostly. Practice that. I was very much more in the like official tournament circuit like last year. And this year, I took a step back mostly because I knew I didn't even like want to go to Worlds if I did qualify. So then it allowed me just to, you know, focus on like other things in my life, just having more fun with the game, I guess. Like, not taking it as more seriously, just playing it more in my off time. Like, I also do streaming. I'm very much on and off with that because of just like how like life things go. A few years ago, I was really like on it, but I guess that was more so because like the pandemic, I had more time and at home.
Yeah.
Now I'm very much like trying to get back into it and trying to do more things than Pokemon. I want to start doing a lot of native crafts, like this necklace you see. I didn't make this personally, but like I know how, and I want to start making those on stream. I have a nice little setup I've made over there where I've been making those bracelets, moccasins, so many different things. I'm the Northern Plains, and my people make tons of great clothing and beadwork and all of that. And I just want to bring that to Twitch and just like the internet in general and other communities, because there very much is a hole in like the native like community. Like, there's not like, we're always welcomed in many communities and stuff like that, but there's not one that primarily focuses on it. I would like to eventually try to like foster a community like that. I have somewhat like a little bit, like people come in, go and like, oh, I'm native, it's so good to see another native person stream and stuff like that, and then we have a great talk, and I always love learning about other tribes and their traditions and cultures, because there's thousands, not everyone's the same. And so it's always learning, it's just, you know, a beautiful environment.
Yeah It's beautiful to bring your heritage to Twitch. And you know, I think years ago they may not have been thinking about, you know, the future offspring bringing the traditions to the world in the way that you're able to, but it's able to. I think there's some power in saying, hey, like, we're here and we're still connecting with each other and we're sharing everything. And I do think there's a lot of beauty in that. So congrats on you know, getting to the point where you've learned it also and you can share it. Have you known how to do this stuff for a while?
No, that's what I'm learning a lot. Very much I just a little bit of my background. I was like separated from my parents when I was young because of my father passed away when I was 8. My mother was born with fetal alcohol syndrome, which is very common among Native women. So therefore the state deemed her incapable of taking care of herself, therefore incapable of taking care of a child. So I was put into foster care for a while. My aunt and uncle took me in from my dad's side, But they're white and don't know the culture. Not like they ever like try to keep me from the culture or anything. They just don't know it. So I was very much separated from it from a big part of my life. And then as I got older and growing up and just wanting to get to know myself better and all of that, I really wanted to reconnect. And so I had to go on my own journey of learning my culture kind of on my own, through books or stories. People actually have a really good Facebook group, and like the elders will post like lessons of our language and stuff. So a lot of it has been self-taught. There are things that like my mom taught me like when I was younger that were mostly just like things that like I remember having like a native upbringing. Like the first time I learned how to swim was like my mom threw me in the river and said, come back.
That's amazing.
I definitely took those lessons with me growing up, but the actual like facts and things like that I had to learn on my own, with the craft work as well. My mom never taught me any craft work or anything like that. I don't know if she knows any or too much. We are also still kind of like separated unfortunately, but yeah, that's my journey has been a long one, and it is a journey that a lot of natives have to take on their own because they get separated from their culture.
I'm sorry, man. I just want to extend compassion to you for the it's a lot. It sounds like a lot, you know, that you had to endure, one on your own or in circumstances unideal for a child to kind of, you know, come up through, the, being separated from both your parents and losing one as well. Just a lot of respect for the journey that you have gone on. And
thank you. I appreciate it.
It's tough to discover yourself in those circumstances and try to keep your, like you said, like you're focusing now on the mental health top of mind. Just a lot of love and support to you as you continue to take that journey.
Thank you. Thank you so much. I really appreciate it.
Of course. Of course. Next question on the pod surrounds masculinity, and it just kind of shaped this this question in a way that respects all identities. But I think for you, I want to ask, how has masculinity shown up in your life, and how have you chosen to kind of engage with it?
So that's a very interesting question. And when you asked me to come on this pod, that's honestly the question that I've been thinking about every day, kind of like, because I know that's like one of the main things you ask people. So I'm like, how is that? And when I was very interesting, though, when you your last episode with Tom Hayden, very nice guy. I know him personally. Love him.
Great guy.
Yeah, great guy. So he was like, oh, that's an easy question. And I just laughed because I was like, oh, my God. Like, to me, that's such a hard question. But it's very interesting how like, people find different answers to that question. But to me, masculinity has very much been a very like outside, I've always had like body dysmorphia in a way, because, I was always a smaller kid. I had like malnutrition growing up. I was like 35 pounds in third grade. So then growing up, like, just was always like kind of like a smaller guy, was always insecure about that. So I always found like masculinity to me growing up was how I looked on the outside. Like, did I look like a man, or what I thought a man was? And then as I got older, I then fortunately hit a growth spurt, got pretty athletic. The body dysmorphia was still there, but it was like in a different way. Where I definitely was like, I know I look good, but I want to just be bigger. And I never really like kind of knew why, like at that time. Later on, it's just, you know, the toxic masculinity, all that. I never quite understood the, like, as a man, you have to be tough and all that, because I always was like, well, women have to do that too. And I think I mostly saw that because of like my mother, and her life and how strong she is. And I think that's like how I always was like two spirit in a way, where that just like never clicked in my head, like how those things could be separated in someone's mind, where I'm like, that's like the same thing for both. There's just, I find it hard to find too many differences between men and women, actually. Like, we're just both so similar, stuff like that. Obviously, the way that people experience those in their life and upbringing is very different. But just like boiling it down to like, we're all just people.
Big time.
Yeah. And so then on my journey to now, I, in college, I met a lot of people that helped me just be able to just express myself more freely. And I always liked the idea of being pretty. I was like, yeah, handsome's fine, but like, I want to be pretty. And so then I started just like, you know, painting my nails, maybe doing like a little bit of makeup, dressing a little more feminine. I really enjoy dressing feminine at the time. And so then I was like, okay, well, I feel very like just like a, like I'm still a guy. I feel like that. There's just a lot of what in society we call like feminine or women traits that I like doing that typically men don't do. Then I identified as gender nonconforming, which I feel like a lot of people do on their journey through finding whatever identity they feel comfortable with. Not saying like that's like a middle ground or anything. Like if that's your, what you feel comfortable with, that's what you are. It's just, on my journey, I started with gender nonconforming because I was like, I definitely am still a man, but there's a lot of things of a man I don't conform to, like the toxic masculinity, and just, how like women, like men treat women, I just never agreed with. And I was like, that's not me. I always was like very much a true feminist, like equality. And then as I started learning more about my culture and just other people's culture, like other indigenous cultures and stuff, I started to really identify with Two-Spirit. I didn't quite like solidify that until I moved here to New York City. And I really got to live in an area that got to express myself. Cause in college I went to the University of South Carolina, which was a really fun school and stuff like that. But South Carolina isn't too welcoming on, on those ideas.
Get that. Get that.
And then after, I went to college, I then went to live on a farm, in Western North Carolina for like a year in like deep Appalachia. And people really didn't like that.
Keep sticking to them.
Yeah. So I definitely felt like I had to be a little more conservative in how I expressed myself on the outside throughout my college years and a little bit after. But now that I'm here in a very much more welcoming area, going to bars and clubs with people that are very more like-minded and look like me, which is very helpful to see. And it's helped me just like be more like, yes, this is like what I like and what I want to be. Normally I'm wearing a bunch of makeup and stuff. Yeah, it's just been extremely fun to express myself. And then learning also just like the role of Two-Spirit in Native societies. It typically plays the role of a third gender. You kind of do both things, but you are very much at a higher spiritual level. And you have to also like know the both, like the women typically are the ones that do like the crafting, pottery, or like the weaving. And the men do like the hunting and gathering, stuff like that. And you have to know like both roles, and then you have to be closer, like close with the spirits. You don't like have to be, like, you know what I mean? Like, it's like very hard to explain. I'm still very much learning, and I don't typically think I am like one, like with the spirits or anything like that. But I do very much feel a very strong connection with them. I grew up with my aunt and uncle, and so they were Catholic. But they never pressured religion on me. It was very nice. It allowed me to just explore and get ideas from many things. And it, luckily, living in New York, I was surrounded by every religion and every culture. It was just wonderful learning about so many things and not feeling pressured to be into one thing. But then I just felt a very strong connection towards my tribe's traditions and spirits. And I think that's just like akin to how other people feel towards their religions. They just feel that connection towards it. So I practice praying to the Great Spirit other spirits like the Great Bear Spirit, obviously. Learning all that and being Two-Spirit as confirming that I am Two-Spirit has very much made me feel even more connected to the spirits.
It's amazing. I love that Two-Spirit. It's like you get to do all these amazing things. You know what
yeah,
I mean?
Yeah.
And I can see how when I'm thinking of a Two-Spirit person being connected to both genders, and that meaning sound like it meant that you have a higher, you know, connection to spirituality and whatnot. Let me see how I consider it, like myself, is that like I'm just this person and there is this constant dance of these masculine qualities, feminine qualities happening at any given time. And I identify as a man and like I feel like I lean to those qualities more often and, you know, on the healthy masculinity side, really walk into deprogrammed toxic masculinity. But there are, you know, lots of things like I love to look good. I love getting these things done and, you know, having that shit fly, you know, and there's something that is just pretty about it. Right. Yes. I like, you know, really connecting deeply emotionally with other individuals, the deep level of compassion, which is not always like expected or necessary. You know, something men know how to do because we've, you know, often been, you know, taught to remove our empathy, like for whatever reason. And it feels like this dance is happening within myself, and a person who's come to this realm as Two-Spirit and, you know, given like, hey, or, you know, given that role of being connected to spirituality, like in this life, like you are like very much solidly engaging with what, you know, masculinity, femininity can look like in one being. And even it feels like even a responsibility to, you know, engage in the world in that way. Am I getting that any sort of right?
Yes. I think most, if not all, is what you have said is correct. I mean, obviously, with the way you're speaking about yourself is correct. I think it does hold a little bit of responsibility. Typically, that is in the role that it played historically and stuff. And I think it's evolved more so now where... you have to be a leader within the Native community, but also the LGBTQ community. It is a lot of responsibility to be able to have an idea of both sides, but still be on your journey like anybody else is, and experience that journey in a very unique way that others don't. I think a very interesting part about like me, being like a woman as well, is that I didn't grow up as a woman. So there's a lot of learning I have to do there, with just understanding and listening, now experiencing it for myself. So that's been a very interesting journey, which has also helped solidify my feelings towards womanhood, and how, like masculine and feminine, like the traits were like masculine supposed to be tough and, feminine supposed to be, meek or something. It's like, no, as a woman, you have to be extremely tough, especially just to walk down the street. It's really just like torn down the walls of masculine and feminine to me. And I just see an open field of just being a human.
I like being
a person. And I look at everybody as just people.
That's awesome. That's awesome, Asa. Before you reach the kind of conclusion or the part of your journey where you knew you were two-spirit, had you had challenges, let's say from, you know, society or even people in your life that were like, you're not living up to being, you know, quote unquote, real man, or just, you know, as you were going on that journey and discovering that you were two-spirit, was there any like kind of like, what was that? I don't know, like battle, or if there was anything like that, what was that like for you?
Mm-hmm. Definitely. There were people that stopped liking me or didn't want to be my friend anymore when they saw that I was being more outwardly feminine. And, you know, like I said, going to school in South Carolina, there are, unfortunately, a lot of people that are closed-minded. Oh, sorry, I was reconnecting. There's people that are closed-minded and just not nice. So I definitely had a lot of outward comments, a lot of slurs hurled at me. It made me want to almost take like a step back. I think the biggest part was I was unsure of how women would be attracted to me anymore, stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't want to be lonely and stuff like that. As I left those kinds of people, I found more people that did accept me. And then I just like learned that like that's just life, and you're gonna find people that like you and find people that don't like you, or people that will eventually not like you because maybe you change up a little bit. I guess I changed up a lot of it, but because growing up in high school, I was definitely like, I didn't have the long hair. It was like pretty short. Mm. I was very much like track kid, just always wore just like shorts, and like I looked like just like typical high school kid, and then just started wearing like jewelry, the makeup, and everything like that. And then, I guess, you know, sometimes it makes people uncomfortable. Which, I mean, mm-hmm. if that's what makes you uncomfortable, you got some learning to do. But
hell yeah, buckle up for life.
Yeah, there definitely was some bumps and hiccups. Luckily, my family was very accepting. They just were like, we're just curious what's going on. Like, just keep us updated, stuff like that. So luckily, like, no one that was like very close to me in my family or very, very close friends left me for any of the reasons. They were just totally fine with it, as most normal people are. And so luckily I didn't have that struggle, but it was mostly like just strangers and then society.
Beautiful. When there's like, you know, being the recipient of judgment like that, what would you like, is there anything you wish those people understood about you that might, I don't know, help you, like help your day be easier when that... how do I put this? Is there anything you wish those people understood when they were judging you that could help them just, you know, move past it or make them less of an issue for you? Was there anything you wish those guys understood?
I guess I wish they understood mind your own business, but
that's a simple one. It could be just that. It's that simple.
You know, live mind your own business, live, right? Like, it's like, I was like, obviously, fuck racism and all that, but like if you are, like, keep to yourself.
Like, yeah. Oh yeah.
Like, it's, I don't know, like, just like for that question, and like just for me, mm-hmm. personally, then yeah, if you are uncomfortable or whatever, keep it to yourself. Don't say stuff or make it worse, because I will say stuff back too. I'm definitely not like a person that's shy from confrontation. Mm-hmm. And I also grew up in rough neighborhoods, grew up in foster care. I know how to fight. It is what it is. And I'm pretty much always down too, just to like, just as a person, I will always stand for like the things I believe in. I'm very outspoken on my social media accounts of political activism, mm-hmm. especially with the current state of things.
Yeah.
That's just like kind of who I've always been. So when things are said to me, it does create a situation. And so it would make my day easier if those situations were just avoided.
Yeah, absolutely. I think people don't understand that their discomfort, and as you know, what starts as discomfort, which for a lot of people ends up being hate that lives within them, is a them problem. It's very much a them problem. And for people, and it kills me that a lot of these people like really are like the most moral. Think they're the most moral, but cannot just walk down the street and let another person live the life they want to live. And I have a lot of trouble wrapping my head around that. And, definitely saying your hate is your issue. Deal with it. If you think you are so moral and good, you should be dealing with that, so you don't walk down the street and want to give someone a hard time for how they've chosen to live life that does not affect anyone else.
Yes.
It's that simple.
It's literally that
fantastic,
simple.
Fantastic, Asa. You mentioned a little bit about your mental health, and I'm very curious, and whatever aspect you're comfortable talking about it, mm-hmm. But any recent or past mental, emotional health struggle that you've had to overcome or currently working through that you're willing to share with us?
Yeah. So, unfortunately, as many people in the LGBTQ community experience, is sexual assault. And I experienced that back in like October, and basically what happened was these people thought I was trans, and they were calling me trans slurs, and were like, "Do you even have a fucking dick?" and stuff like that. And like I was like coming out of the bathroom, and so then they like pushed me back in the bathroom, and they're like trying to grab my dick and everything, and push him away, and it caused like a whole situation. And then the bouncer is like, "What's happening?" and gets mad at me, and I'm like, "Wait, what?" Like, I'm literally like being attacked here, and then it just created like a very bad situation, and that very much made me have a very decline in my mental health. And then at work, the October 7th happened. And then the next day I had to deliver like thousands of, Israel propaganda. And it just like made me sick to my stomach. And I quit that day, and, then signed up for therapy, and, have been now gone to therapy every week, maybe like missed like a week or two here or there, but every week since October. Been very happy with that decision. I've been wanting to do therapy like consistently. I had always tried it like a little bit, like with like my college like therapy and like things they offered and stuff like that, but I always found it inadequate. But I really was like, you know what, this is the time to really do it. I'm going through it. And so I did that, and it very much helped, especially quitting my job. I did not like my job. And focusing on my mental health has been a extremely great journey. My therapist, I was lucky to find a very wonderful therapist. She focuses on like holistic therapy. We do a lot of breathing exercises and just trying to wrap my head around some things and not overthink some other things. And I also started psychiatry as well. Been trying out different meds. I have terrible insomnia. So really trying to figure out sleep medication has been a struggle. But I think they have been working, but it is a journey. And still like not quite there, but I'm happy to like, you know that I'm giving it my best. I'm fortunate enough to be able to afford this at this moment. Yeah, that is typically like how I'm dealing with my mental health currently. Trying to go out more, do more things, want to go out to more locals. I started going to do you know Go the game?
What is this?
Go. It's like
Pokemon Go.
No, Go. It's the game that's like with black and white pieces on a 19x19 board. It's mostly played in like Asia. It's like how like here in the West we play chess. There they play Go.
Cool.
So I recently started going to a Go club, which has been very, very like fun, just like, cause it's like, so outside of Pokemon, which is what I usually do. And now that the weather's getting nicer, finally, feeling that winter depression going away a little bit, trying to play more Pokemon Go actually too. Nice. Get me to go outside more. Find more just people in the Pokemon community and stuff like that. I feel like I'm surrounded, like there's definitely so many Pokemon people around me, and I've started to like meet more and more of them, and it's been very nice. Creating like more community. I've like always been very big to Pokemon, but never had like too many people in my life that are as big into it as I was.
Same. That's beautiful. Yeah, doing this podcast and being on Twitter and Threads is actually popping. If you haven't checked out Threads, I think Threads is on the come up. But like just any sort of like engagement with Pokemon content has just been just so nourishing for me. Yes. And it's the piece you just said. Just I've always been really into it, always loved it, figured I always would love it. But oh my goodness, getting people in your life that also like it is like next level.
I know. I remember, remember like the last year, all my friends like played Pokemon every day was like X and Y. And I was just like, I wish we could go back to the days.
Oh man. That was beautiful. Yeah. I can just feel the newness of it. Like, you know, you never get that feeling again because it will never be new again. But just like that little kid feeling you had, like that's something that just always warm to think back to.
Yes.
Always warm to think back to. And that said, how would you say Pokemon's contributed to your happiness just over the years? What pieces of it really light you up?
So I think Pokemon has been an extremely instrumental part of my life. Like I said, I had a rough upbringing. So I actually like didn't really go to school until I moved in with my aunt and uncle. And so I actually didn't know how to read. A big way I learned how to read was through Pokemon. I always loved Pokemon and stuff like that. And my aunt and uncle saw that. And they're like, well, there's all this text. There's like the Pokédex. So they bought me like literally like the strategy guides that like had like every Pokédex like they were ever. And then they just wanted me to, because they're like, if this is what he'll try to read, like hell yeah, let's do it. and so Pokemon was huge for just me learning how to read becoming a person. I remember,
hell yeah,
I used to think critical hit was called circle hit because I just didn't know like how to like do it, and I just went like too hard, circle. So for a long time I just would just read the Pokédex and count that as like my reading homework. It helped me make friends. I remember that was the one thing like I could like connect with other kids with was Pokemon. I love Pokemon, and then other kids love Pokemon. So like, it just worked out that way. I remember summer camp was great because every kid played Pokemon, and then like I just felt like I was like just like so smart because I was like the best at Pokemon. except for when Mike hacked in his Meowile to have Wonder Guard, and I couldn't figure it out. Fourth grade.
Brutal.
Yeah. I was like, how can I not hit this Meowile?
Meowile is a dope mon too.
I know.
So I'm sorry you had to deal with it in that way.
Yeah, the nightmares that Meowile still has. And when I got a Mega, oh my God. I was livid.
Yo, make Mega Meowile viable in ZA. Let's make it happen.
I know.
Wrapping up here, yeah. Last two questions. First, about Pokemon, what are you most excited for that's coming up next? And then anything you might hate say to a guy out there who is just struggling with whatever they're going through, what might you say to them to help them get through it?
Mm-hmm. So for Pokemon, the next thing I'm excited for is the biggest thing is definitely NAIC. Mm-hmm. I'm going to be going there. It's going to be my first international tournament. You're going to do it?
I'm signing up. It's like it's going to be a hustle to get there, but I'm making the run. I'm going to do my best to get there, and mm-hmm. we're going to do what we got to do. Yeah. But I'll be going for the sign up tomorrow or the day after, whatever the hell we got to do.
Hopefully, not like too crazy to sign up. I know a lot of people were like, you know, setting their alarms and whatnot. You had to do like a register on another website, and then you have to go register on Arcanine. It's a little complicated. It's annoying. I don't really get it, but I got everything set up hopefully for tomorrow. I have plane ticket. Still have to get a hotel, figuring that out, but you know,
awesome.
Excited, very excited to go to NAIC, go to New Orleans. Never been there either.
Nice.
That should be very fun. I'm also going to local this weekend. Excited for that.
Dope. Reg F still?
Yes, still Reg F. It's going to be last like Reg F tournament. Probably last one of the bigger ones because this is a mid-season show. So like should be a pretty like good size local. A lot of good players probably. It's probably going to be like Chuppa, Lorsi, all of them.
yeah, man, your area is so stacked. Crazy.
I know. It's tough.
You gotta be pretty solid though to hang though, right?
I'm all right. I mean, I lose to those guys all the time, but at least I can like you know take a game or two sometimes.
There we go.
yeah. But for any men out there that are struggling with your mental health, I just want to say you're not alone. There's lots of people out there that are feeling a lot of things that you're probably feeling. There's lots of help out there. You just have to find the ways to access them. And it's hard to reach out, but that's always the first step. You know, just be easy on yourself. Like, you're doing your best, even if just waking up and getting out of bed and brushing your teeth is the most you can do. Like, you did great. I've always felt like if you like feel like you are doing your best, like that's enough. Like, that's all anybody could ever ask of you is your best. Like, especially of yourself. And you know, the biggest thing is just keep pushing forward. Like, even if it's like one little crawl at a time and it feels like the weight of the world is under you, just try to keep just crawl. Like, I don't know. Might not be the greatest advice, but I always feel first step is the hardest and you just got to take it. And even if, and don't feel bad if you fall back, and regress. I know, it's a big disappointment and I feel that a lot. And you just got to, you know, keep reminding yourself, even if you don't believe it, sometimes you just keep reminding yourself, like, it's okay. You're doing your best, like move forward. And sometimes you really are like, this is bullshit. Like, I don't even believe what I'm saying. Like, whatever, just say it. Just, you know, say it in your head, say it out loud if you want, say it in the mirror, whatever helps you. And definitely find your anchor. Whatever your anchor is, and my anchor is my kitty. And he's very much my emotional support animal. And I know, at least like for me, it's like, I will take care of him no matter what. Like I will always be here for him, and he will always be here for me. And find whatever your anchor is, whether it's an animal, a friend, a family, a rock.
Yeah. Like, oh yeah, it's valid.
Whatever it is, like, at least find, like, I don't know. Those really help. The first step and the anchor.
Beautiful. Solid, potent advice. I love the, you know, do something, and even when it feels small, that adds up to progress. Mm-hmm. And those days that it feels like you aren't moving at all, someday will turn into momentum. And absolutely, the momentum will be stopped another time. You know, progress, healing, all of it is not always linear. And if there is a backslide of any sort, that's part of the process. And to just get back on the horse is beautiful. And then that anchor, I got a couple cats who've been like anchors for me as well. I think I have some other ones, but I love that you mentioned your cat, and mine really helped me a lot too. So big love for that. Big love for your journey. Big respect for your journey. I see you like doing it.
My cat's not dead. He's just up there.
Is he in like a hiding spot up there?
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. I have a loft bed, so he goes up there.
Shout out to the loft bed. Let's go.
Yeah. Built that myself too. I'm a big builder.
Oh, hell yeah. Hell yeah. Asa, so much just love, respect, and passion for the journey you've been on. And shout out to the power that you are like bringing behind it. It's so dope. And shout out to, I get a little Superior hanging because it's upside down. You got one on your shirt. Shout out to that. Shout out to Superior.
Oh my God. I didn't even like realize I was wearing the Superior shirt. I put it on. Oh my. Yeah.
Let's go. That's the energy. Asa, thanks for joining. Have a great rest of your day.
You as well. Thank you. And to everybody else, have a great rest of your day.
Boom.
Bye-bye.
Great conversation with Asa Bear, and a lot of love and respect for you, Asa, on the journey that you've had, finding your identity, connecting with your culture, doing what you got to do to keep your mental right so that you can be a happy, healthy person doing whatever you want to do in the world. Just so much love and respect for that journey. Love and respect for the folks who find their way to healing because they have to. And here's what I mean by that. A lot of folks get to the quote unquote top of whatever mountain, right? They get the nice job, they get the wife, the kids, all the stuff that's supposed to make us happy, all the stuff that we're supposed to chase, and they find that that's not there. Some people continue to be unhappy and will, you know, numb, you know, they play video games an obsessive amount, they drink an obsessive amount, they find some other addiction to take their pain away, quote unquote, or they find the way to healing. And I believe, you know, any healing journey is super noble, beautiful thing. We all need to find our way there. But I think there's a difference when, you know, life deals you a set of cards. And if you don't start to do the work to figure that out, to heal, you're not going to make it, right? Or at least seems that way, that you're not going to make it, and that you have a choice to fall into patterns that will be self-destructive, or you have a choice to buck up and do the work. And someone like Ace is a great example of someone who got dealt a different hand in life, but had support and chose to keep doing the work, chose to be who he wants to be in this world, and chose to get help when needed. I wish that for every single one of us, because we've got a beautiful world in a lot of ways, but an extremely challenging world. And only through that continued dedication to being your best self, being your most happy self, being that person who wants to help community build and heal, only through that stuff do we get a better world. Asa, thanks for being a beautiful soul. Thanks for coming on to the pod. Thanks for everyone for listening. I'm feeling fired up and inspired. Let's go just do what we got to do to be better people. We'll talk soon.